It's where you go to bike, hike, and stroll miles of pathways over more than 7,000 acres of parkland. A place to go explore rivers and fish their bountiful waters. Natural places to go marvel at magnificent wildlife while you play outdoors and go wander charming communities. Find all this and more at Destination Downriver. Give it a go.
Today's podcast is presented by MarketInsights.us. With the podcast on YouTube produced by the City of Taylor's Media Center.
Thank you to our team sponsor, Allegra, Marketing, Print, and Design. Let Allegra assist you with your print, mail, design, and signs. Located in Wyandotte, Michigan, or call 734-284-5330.
I'm Carl Zymek, and welcome to Destination Downriver. The city of Romulus is rapidly emerging as one of Michigan's most compelling communities, a place destined for growth and economic development. It has infrastructure, assets, and Michigan's major metro airport, giving Romulus immediate accessibility to global markets. If we had to pick a place with all the right ingredients for success, it would be hard to find more advantages than those in Romulus. It is the epitome of a gateway community. Joining us right now is Mayor Robert McCrate. Later, we will have business owners Bill Toner and John Yono on camera. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
You love being here and being on some show.
I love talking about my favorite topic, which is the city of Romulus.
And there's no doubt about that. You spent your entire life as a Romulus resident.
Born and raised. I did move out for a little bit, but I returned home. You know, we figured with the re-envisioning of Romulus, I needed to put my money where my mouth was, and I wanted to move home long before I thought of running for office.
So it's essentially part of your DNA. What's a general philosophy? What's your general philosophy?
General philosophy, find a solution. Okay. Find a solution. Mm-hmm. And I've carried that, find a way to fix a problem, and that's what I consider myself to be as a problem solver. And there's so much potential in our community. We just needed to fix a few things to get the right ingredients in place, and that's where I am. So my basic philosophy is find a solution.
Comes down to getting things done?
Absolutely.
Is there a passion that goes with that?
Absolutely. I think there needs to be. I think people share in that passion, and they sense that. If you have leadership that doesn't have a passion for it, mm-hmm. I think it's not even leadership. I think even a teacher mm-hmm. or anybody, they sense that passion. And if they see it's genuine, they want on board.
Is it tough to balance the politics with the passion? Because the politics sometimes get in the way. I know working with different mayors that I have and covering different mayors for 40 years now, that it can be a grind.
It can be. Trying to navigate those circles. I like to think of myself as not being a politician, though, mm-hmm. so I don't think it slows me down that much because I don't think if we're doing the right thing, politics shouldn't get in the way. Mm-hmm. If you need to have a conversation with people to share your ideas and find out what the problem is and smoke out any issues, mm-hmm. the politics shouldn't be a problem. And if they become an issue, there's another way to handle that. But I don't let the politicians or the politics of the job slow us down.
Right now, what gets you charged up about Romulus?
The biggest asset my city has to offer are the residents. We have a mm-hmm. great community. I mentioned mm-hmm. that I left Romulus for a little while, mm-hmm. and I lived in different areas, and I was always just a number. What brought mm-hmm. me back to Romulus were the people. So we're at that point right now where we're too small to be a big town and too big to be a small town, but everybody knows your name, and there's comfort in that. And that's, to me, I feel legitimately our biggest asset are our residents. We have great people in that community. The opportunities. You hit the nail right on the head with the introduction. We are home to the largest economic engine in southeastern Michigan in DTW. Mm-hmm. 30 million travelers annually go through that airport, making us, in my opinion, the gateway to Michigan. Your first impression of Michigan is the city of Romulus. Mm-hmm. And we need to clean some things up. And we have been overlooked and underdeveloped for years. Mm-hmm. And we had to create that environment where people saw the opportunity there to increase their stakeholding, which is why we're here today, right. and see the mm-hmm. opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we harness that? The airport's not going anywhere, neither are we. Mm-hmm. So how do we work closely with the airport mm-hmm. and our hotel district mm-hmm. and I-94 and 275 to find out how we grow and create opportunities for investment in our community, and that's where we're at right now.
Now, on the other end of that, you want to breathe new life or life into your kind of new center area of the city. You're big on that. What's the ultimate vision there?
The ultimate vision was really finding out who we were. I think for years, Romulus missed the mark by holding out for certain industries. We wanted to become a destination location. And there was a lot of effort put into bringing a casino or a racetrack and different entities like that to the city of Romulus. We really took a good hard look at who we were, and we are a transportation destination, our location. And you know, we have planes, trains, and automobiles. How do we play to our strengths, realize who we are, and start to grow as a community? And once we do that, and we see, we create an opportunity to attract a development that wants to come to Romulus. Once we figured out who we were, we started to grow. And it started with Amazon and its industry and development. So now you have Penske, you have Genesco, you have Ford and GM. You have major stakeholders who understand the opportunity to be that close to transportation, and they continue to increase their stakeholding and their investment in our community.
Now, you're a big cyclist. You like to go around on your motorcycle. You've traveled America, basically, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen things you'd like to see out there instead of reinventing the wheel?
Oh, my gosh. The America I got to see on that motorcycle was incredible. It's an incredible journey. And there are a lot of things that we'd love to see. But at the end of the day, economic development is really understanding who you are and playing to your strengths. And I compare us to Van Buren and Belleville sometimes. You know, we don't have a lake. We're not a downriver on the river community. We don't have a waterfront. So we have to harness what's in front of us, and that is industry and jobs. My family settled in Romulus because my dad had a job. It's a manufacturing job. We're a blue-collar manufacturing community. When I grew up in Romulus, everybody I knew was a tradesman, electrician, carpenter, plumber, mechanic, welder. And that seems to have gone away. And I think that Romulus went away from its roots, and that what helped us grow and be a viable community when I was growing up. And we're trying to get back to that. And like I said, play to our strengths, where I'd love to develop waterfront or, you know, have a lakefront community like they do in Belleville. I'd love to do that, but we don't. We have an airport. We have industry. We have railway. We are a transportation location, and that's why we're trying to grow that way.
Fantastic. At this point in the show, what we're going to do is we're going to segue out to a quick look at business and development through the eyes of Bill Toner of Captain Nemo's.
How long have you owned Captain Nemo's, and how long have you been involved in it? You guys came in together, but I want to make sure we get your age on here, because this is one of the interesting things about you. We don't meet that many this young entrepreneurs. So.
Yeah, so we started the business, or we picked up the business about a year and a half, almost 2 years in November. Thought process was for me to come in, help subsidize Social Security, give me something to do for the time being until my wife retires, and give Haley an opportunity to take over the business and carry on the Captain Nemo legacy. That was pretty important for us, to carry on John's legacy. That's the deal that I made with the previous owner. So it's really up to her to carry on the legacy, you know.
55 years, right?
55 years
somewhere
running.
Somewhere around there. We're in the early 1970s.
That's when John took over, but Mr. Miller had it a couple years previous to that. So we're probably looking at almost 55 years. So hopefully, you know, with Haley, she can carry on the rest. She's just turned 24 in April, so I think Captain Nemo's going to be around for a little while.
Yeah, that's that.
It's a long time to think ahead.
So you'll be in the 20 under 30 then, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys both grew up here in Romulus, so it's a little easier to answer the question that was next, which is, how did you pick Romulus? But why did you pick Romulus? I mean, you know what the drawbacks are in terms of, you know, people not knowing you have a downtown and traffic areas and everything else. So
the biggest thing was is trying to help the administration revitalize the downtown area, and we are from this area, so we felt that and it was really opportunity. I mean, I somewhat created the opportunity because Captain Nemo's wasn't for sale when I approached her. So I knew between the combination of the relationship that we had with Captain Nemo's through the years and the opportunity of expanding from the days that she was open. So if I was going to help any city, it would be the one that I've been in for over 60 years.
Now, there are lots of sub places around. What's the challenge for a small business operator in the food services industry operating in a location like this? I mean, it's not easy.
It isn't. The biggest obstacle, I think, is your food cost, and your advertising, which food costs just goes up astronomically, and you're kind of tied. If the baker has to raise the price on the buns, you're forced to raise your prices. If the steak goes up and the bun goes up and something else, eggs went up, for example, it was very difficult. So between that and your labor costs, those are two huge obstacles that you have to overcome. So it's a very tough obstacle to overcome. It really is. It's over 60-70% of our gross that we bring in is food cost and labor.
Labor.
And let's touch on that labor thing. You said something before we went on film or camera here. Is turnover a problem? I mean, because you have people that have worked here for how long?
We have. Yeah, Gail has been here. Gail actually came here before John did. Gail was here for co-op in 1972 when John bought the place, and she basically trained him. We've kept a few of the original employees when we took over, but Haley had worked at another business up the road and had a bunch of friends and friends' friends, and Haley has pretty much, we're up to 18 employees now. So we have 5 to 7 people here at any given time, 2 people slicing, 5 people up front. I mean, it's very labor intensive, but that portion has been mostly all Haley.
And to that thing, Haley, I mean, you started as a high schooler working at the ice cream place. Is this a place where you're getting a lot of high school kids coming in and helping and working?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what, I mean, most of our kids, they've all come from down the street.
Right.
I worked down there from the time I could remember. I learned everything I know came from Lynn and Pat down the street. So that's, I give all credit to them for that. But all of them, they're seasonal, so they close for winter. So it was a lot easier for the kids when we took over. I'm like, she's like, pick who you want, see who you want to take. I'm like, sure about that? Because we're not seasonal. So I'm like, but we've been very good about if they want to go back there, which we have, there's been maybe 1 or 2 kids that when they open back up, they go back down there. Winter comes, they'll come here. But honestly, for high school kids, our turnover rate hasn't been horrible. We've had kids that go off to college, they come back for break, or when they come back from college, they come back here. So honestly, our turnover rate hasn't been horrible for having young kids, and they pretty much all stay here. The main thing about here that's great is that we cash them out their tips every single day. And surprisingly, they do really well, so that goes on top of their hourly, and they love that. I mean, as a kid, you're like, shoot, I get to go home with minimum $20 a day. You're like, that's my gas to go from here to there. So they love it. And with me being here a lot of the time, they love that, the leniency that we give them. If they have grad parties or this or that, they pretty much can do any of that stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of kids that play sports, and
sports,
you
got
to let them do those things. Their families go on vacation, they have to go. So these kids are constantly rotating. It takes her literally 3 hours to do a 2-week schedule.
Customer service does keep people coming back, so that's a big hallmark of what you do. Obviously, food makes a big chunk of the decision making,
but
customer service and treating people right, that's something we've seen as an iconic thing through every business we talk to. How does Romulus and the community aspect of this make this a better success or more easily successful business for you?
Now that with the DDA group and the administration, they have people in place that are out there getting grants for our downtown area. We weren't here 3 months. We received a $10,000 grant. We bought a new grill, a larger grill. We bought a new prep table, a new bun oven. Because the lines were so long at lunchtime, it could be 40 minutes to get a sub. So by having the bigger grill and having that, we can have 2 people cooking, one going one direction, one going the other. So it took our lead time down to nothing in a split second. And that was money that we probably would have never spent. We had just started. Now here recently, we just got approved for another $2,500 grant. We're gonna upgrade from picnic tables to tables. We just got a new surveillance system in that we matched that to show them that we're willing to put out money as well. It wasn't so much for the vibrancy, but the city is giving you opportunities to improve on what you're doing. So that is a big aspect, and that all goes to the administration to make that happen.
Real quickly, give us your address, where you're located, the crossroads and everything, so people know.
That's Grant, but that turns into Heron River
Drive.
This
is Heron River Drive. It's 12033.
No, I know, but this turns into, so this right here is Grant, but that turns into East Heron River Drive.
Okay.
And then this is Heron River Drive, but after the light, that's Goddard.
Well, that's confusing.
That's why it's called Five Points.
Five Points.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So 12033 South Heron River Drive, Romulus, Michigan. Our crossroads are Heron River Drive, Grant Road, Goddard Road, and East Heron River Drive.
Okay.
We're backed with, is it Bill or Billy?
Billy.
Billy Toner from Captain Nemo's, one of the favorite spots in Romulus. Bill, welcome.
Thank
to
you.
Destination Downriver. You grew up, went to school, settled in your hometown. Now you're a business owner, you're part of the DDA, and you're trying to make a difference for your city. What motivated you and your family to invest in the area?
It's something that I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. The opportunity never brought it. I come from a manufacturing background, had a tool and die shop for many years. Mm-hmm. But I've kind of followed Bob's vision for many years, even before he became mayor, mm-hmm. And seen how he worked, how he did things. And I was attempting to get on board through the city, maybe being employed by the city at one time. Mm-hmm. I'm not real good with the red tape. I'm a do-it type of guy. Something needs to be done, I do it. So it became a thing where the opportunity, I created the opportunity, basically. Captain Nemo's wasn't up for sale.
Okay.
So approached Denise. She was getting close to retirement. Since COVID, she had a hard time getting employees. Mm-hmm. So I seen an opportunity to take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. They were 4 days a week, 5 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So I seen a business opportunity, and I approached her, and we had several conversations, mm-hmm. and here we are. So it was a thing that I seen Bob's vision with the city. So that was the first vision that mm-hmm. I had, mm-hmm. And then created my own atmosphere with getting Captain Nemo's. Mm-hmm. So it was bringing the daughter back from California, went through a divorce, mm-hmm. wanted to go back to school. It's like, you have big girl bills now, so we're gonna create this business. I was retired for almost 15 years. Mm-hmm. My wife works at the police station, mm-hmm. and she's getting close to retirement. So we seen an advantage that we could subsidize our Social Security, mm-hmm. and give Haley a job at the same time to carry on Captain mm-hmm. Nemo's for mm-hmm. years to come. Mm-hmm. Been there for over almost 55 years. Mm-hmm. So it was a great opportunity.
How did you manage to get? How did you manage? You weren't initially aiming for Captain Nemo's or anything like that.
No.
How did that come about?
Well, we were going to get the local Dairy Queen not mm-hmm. far from our house, where okay. Haley had worked since she was 8 years old. Okay. All of our kids did. So that was the first attempt. And when that didn't come about, that's when I felt that Captain Nemo's, mm-hmm. I've known John for many years mm-hmm. when he came over from England back mm-hmm. in the late 60s, lived next door to my sister, mm-hmm. my oldest sister. So I'd known him for a long time, and just the following that Captain Nemo's had, I knew what John's vision was, mm-hmm. And just felt that I could take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Put on your DDA hat for a moment, okay. What's your broader view for Romulus, okay?
Well, I'd love to see it thrive the way it was back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, mm-hmm. which Bob had touched on. I mean, the dynamic has changed. Mm-hmm. Now this administration has done a lot for the downtown area and the surrounding area as far as getting grants that are available, for us to expand and make it more profitable for the mm-hmm. business. We're kind of in a unique situation with the airport being in the middle of us. The traffic is not what it would be in most downtown areas. So that's always a hurdle that you have to, you have to tackle. And with the way that Bob's administration has gone out and found these dollars for us, it's created a good atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And my vision would be to see it grow and be what it once was.
My understanding is that your food at your place is a destination point.
It really is. Mm-hmm. People come back into town for weddings or funerals or whatever it may be. It's the first place they come is to get a sub because they can remember it from years ago, mm-hmm. and usually stop before they go back. They'll even take it on the plane to fly back to wherever they're going.
That's kind of cool.
So it's not just a sub shop. It is a destination because if I'm there, there's going to be conversation had. That's just what it is, you know.
Billy, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're back with Mayor McCrate. That was interesting listening to Bill. Mayor, one of the interesting difference that you face than your counterparts in other surrounding communities is that you're physically split by one of your biggest advantages, which is the airport. Being split, good or bad?
Both.
Okay.
Both. It definitely creates different pockets. And we've had different administrations in Rome that's tried different things. You know, let's not talk about the quadrants we have. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we are a divided community. We have a 9-square-mile hole in the middle of our community. It makes us a donut. Mm-hmm. So we've initiated the One Romulus program, where we're making sure we are engaging in all four quadrants. You know, we hear all the time, I feel like they're never over here. They never hear from our side. And so we're actively engaging. And when we started the One Romulus town hall meetings, we're mobile. And we're making sure we're engaging in all quarters. And we are One Romulus. We just need to acknowledge that there's an airport in the middle of our community. But we need to make sure we're intentional in our actions and reaching out to those residents and know that they're heard mm-hmm. and engaged. People want to belong to something. If mm-hmm. they're a part of it and they see this One Romulus initiative, they respond to that and they feel heard and they're engaged.
What type of feedback are you getting in that? How many of those have you done?
Oh, I don't even.
Has it been a lot? I mean.
No, it's, yeah. Mm-hmm. We started those during my first year.
Okay.
And it's been 4 years now, and we do at least one a quarter, usually every other month. If we can find a location, we've done all the schools in Four Corners. We've done, our last one was at the Thomas Coleman Center over on Beverly Road. Mm-hmm. But we've done the VFW. We've mm-hmm. changed it up enough to do a pancake breakfast to see if people could come by on a Saturday morning. So mm-hmm. if they get there early enough, I'll make them a pancake. Mm-hmm. Pancake, and then we'll have a conversation. But it's just an informal conversation in a setting wherever they want to talk about. We'll go there. Mm-hmm. And it gives them that buy-in at City Hall that they know that we're listening to them.
Now, when you've gone out, has it changed for the better over time as people have gotten used to you and others coming out and engaging?
I think so, because they see the direct results. You know, mm-hmm. at City Hall, we like to think that we understand our community, mm-hmm. but every time we go into a different quadrant, we hear something different. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing you can do is hear about an issue and not take action. So we make sure that we take action on the issues that came up mm-hmm. And also do follow-up. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a meeting, you hear about an issue, and it's just the head nod and that empty voice behind it, they're not going to buy into that. But mm-hmm. they see that we're hearing the issues. We're having an open and honest discussion. You know, they might not like the answers they hear every time, but it's going to be an open and honest answer. Mm-hmm. And any actionable items we get out of there, we make sure we take care of it and then follow back up.
It's funny. I always thought, working for government now, that at the end of the day, people may want an answer, but what they really want is somebody to listen to them.
Yeah.
You finding the same thing?
Yeah, you got to listen. And there will be some good ideas that come out of it. Mm-hmm. Like I said, at mm-hmm. City Hall, we like to think that we know what's going on in our community, but I always hear something new.
Anything that's jumped out at you that you can, since you started doing these things, you can put your finger back on that one and say, hell, that was something I didn't expect, or that was something that turned into a really good idea.
Nothing that I didn't really expect yet. We know mm-hmm. that speeding is an issue in neighborhoods, but mm-hmm. the more we do these meetings, we let everybody know it's an issue everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think every mayor out there right now in every community is going to talk about that change in culture with driving, and mm-hmm. we're trying to find different ways to slow people down. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue that's widespread, but it also gives us an opportunity to talk about the economic development and the growth in Romulus. A lot of people like to think, well, it's a tax abatement, it's a large corporation, it's just a warehouse. That's not it at all. We're not talking about warehouses. We're talking about jobs and creation. Like I said, my family settled in Romulus because there was jobs. Right. So, you know, the Romulus trades are in a wicked vining. The goal is to bring in jobs. And right now we're 95% occupied with phase one. Mm-hmm. And there's almost 900 jobs, full paying, you know, jobs in those buildings that bring dollars and an economy to the city of Romulus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is outstanding. You know, going back to your, the going around to these different quadrants and stuff like that. I know that probably was the impetus for doing that, but from a communications standpoint, and that's what I do, that works anywhere. I mean,
it does.
It's true, and it's necessary anywhere.
We've even gone as far as to pull a member from that community in that area, mm-hmm. and we have them moderate. And they said, well, what are we talking about? And you know what? Wherever you want to go. There's no script. There's no dialogue that's prepared before. If she wants to talk about public safety, economic development, the school mm-hmm. system, elections, wherever they want to go, we'll mm-hmm. talk about. But there's definitely not a script. It's a genuine conversation from a leader in that area that's mm-hmm. very vocal, and we'll try to bring them in and let them moderate, and mm-hmm. we'll just have a... We've just had a candid conversation with neighbors.
Now, do the people give you better feedback when you feed them?
Yeah. Food will bring them out.
Food brings them out all the time. No doubt about that. This is where we're going to take another segue, and we're going to take another look at Romulus Business and Development through the eyes of John Yono, the owner of Wild Willie's and the Super Y Party Store.
You are?
Jonathan Yono. I'm the owner of Wild Willie's Bar and Grill in Romulus, Michigan.
And how long have you owned Wild Willie's?
Owned Wild Willie's for 12 years, about 12 and a half years.
Yeah. And it's been here since the 1960s, you said?
Bar's been here since the 60s, yeah, way before my time.
So it's a bit of an iconic landmark here in Romulus.
Yeah, I would say so. Everybody knows the bar, everybody knows the location. Wild Willie's is kind of a staple in the neighborhood for sure.
Now, how is it you came to invest in Romulus rather than having a bar somewhere else? Because you also got one in Dearborn, correct?
Yeah, I went in Dearborn I've had for just almost 2 years now. But I grew up in Romulus, you know, pretty much without living here. You know, my family has a store down the street called Super Y Market on Middlebelt and Ecorse Road before I was born. So, I mean, I literally in diapers running around the store. And kind of knowing everybody, it was really a no-brainer to get this establishment once it became available.
Was this a pretty established, like neighborhood tavern kind of place?
Oh, absolutely. It's your local dive bar and grill.
Yeah.
You know, just great people, great camaraderie. And we were just happy to get in here and make some improvements on what was already here.
Do the customers come from just around the area, or are you bringing people?
I mean, our base is definitely, you know, the neighborhood and people that are living in Romulus, but people that are working here as well. We built up quite a nice reputation for ourselves, you know, over the past 12 years that I've owned it. So we do get some people that come and travel around and, you know, looking for a good dive bar to go to, and Wild Willie's is it.
Well, and like any respectable dive bar, you've got great food.
Got great food, great fresh food.
Yeah.
You know, we're not pulling stuff out of the freezer and, you know, throwing everything in a deep fryer. You know, we do most of our stuff from scratch. I mean, outside of really our French fries and maybe our cheese sticks, everything, our Pepper Jack cheese sticks are made from scratch, but the regular mozzarella ones aren't. But we do everything from scratch. You know, everything's made in-house. We're buying fresh meat on a regular basis, marinating our meats, seasoning our meats, even up to our corned beef. I mean, everything's made in-house.
Well, this is the kind of place when you drive by, you think, I bet they've got a good burger in there. That was immediately what your lady told me.
Our burger is pretty fantastic. It's a really, really good bar burger. You know, it's a half-pound patty. I can't tell you what's in it. Otherwise, you know, I'd be breaking equipment and stuff so it doesn't get sent out there to everybody. But it's great. It's fantastic. It's a char-grilled burger. Not a flat top burger. I know that's all the craze nowadays is the smash burgers, and ours is not like that, but it's fantastic. I love a good char-grilled burger. It's great. And as picky as my dad loves our burger as well too, so that kind of says a lot if you met my dad.
Now, what is it that keeps your patrons coming back? I mean, you had a business when you bought it, but you sort of built it.
Yeah, I think it's just the way we are as operators and the way my staff is. You know, it's a family bar, but it's not because my family owns it. It's because we're all family that come around here. I mean, I'm at people's house parties, their barbecues, their funerals, their weddings. It's fun. We get along. It's home to me. You know, it's my customers tease me about getting the other bar in Dearborn. They're like, oh, you like that place better. I'm like, no, it's not that I like it better. I actually feel more comfortable and at home here at Wild Willie's because I've known these people forever. I'm literally my whole life.
And you said you kind of grew up down here because your parents owned a store down the street. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that business as well?
So the party store, we're actually just got approvals through the city of Romulus. The city council just approved us recently to redevelop the property. So we're building it, turning it into a gas station with retail. So we have a nice, beautiful new building that we'll be putting up there. You know, fueling stations as well. We'll probably, the new craze with the electric cars and stuff, we'll have a couple charging stations there as well. But so that's pretty exciting. So we're hoping to get to maybe get a shovel in the ground the next few months.
Wow!
And just taking on another project. And, you know,
that's a pretty good. Ambitious project.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Not a small investment.
But no, it's definitely not a small investment. But it's one that's needed. You know, it's a great corner, and you know, if we didn't believe in the city of Rhymes, we wouldn't be continuously investing money in it. You know, not just from what we see on a political level, but also with the residents. You know, they're fantastic. They're always supportive, and we like to give back.
That's an important part of being part of the community, and it strikes us as we talk more about Romulus in the last few weeks that they really do have a sense of community here. That
big time.
Is a challenge with the airport being here all the time.
I mean, that's a huge challenge. It's beneficial in some respects to
very
us as business owners, right? Because it's additional traffic that we're able to get for our businesses. But I mean, when you touch on the community itself, there's nothing like it. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't live in Rhymes. I told you that. I live in Commerce. I mean, yeah, my neighbors are cool, but you know, it's different. And it's different out here. It's not the same. And I tell people that all the time. I don't know. I can't pinpoint. I don't know what it is, but everyone's just cool. It's just fun.
Well, you know, it strikes me, and Haley was a perfect example of that when she walked in.
Yeah.
You know, you guys had all these sort of personal connections. Through other people.
Yeah.
That's something you see.
I mean, it took a split second to say Mikey and Mary, and I'm like, oh, welcome to the family. You know, that's the first time I've met her. But it's that's just what's really cool about it. It's just that pride of being from Romulus and that everybody does have, and they love where they're from, and there's no shame in it. They're not hiding from it. They're not, you know, oh, it's just airplanes and whatnot. No, it's family.
Well, and it's a city that has a really optimistic trajectory right now. It's doing a lot of really cool stuff, and a lot of people are taking note of it.
There's a lot of positive things that have been happening in the city of Romulus, which again makes me and my family more comfortable about continuously to invest too, because we see the positive things that are happening, more traffic in the area with businesses and whatnot. It's cool. It's a cool thing to witness.
Give us the location, the crossroads and all that stuff for what?
Wild Willys, we're at 6221 Middle Belt Road. We're in Romulus. We're just east of Van Bourne, so between Van Bourne and Beverly Road. Super Y Market's right on the corner of Middle Belt and Ecorse. You can't miss that. It's on the southwest corner, right across from the Tim Hortons.
And Super Y has been in business in that area since that section.
So my dad bought Super Y August 14th, it would be 1978, I believe. And I know that because he bought it the day my sister was born. Left the hospital, went and signed the papers, came back and hung out with my mom at the hospital. And so that's where we always know the anniversary of that, of the store. And so yeah, like I said, before I was born in 1980. So. And the store was there prior to that as well too. So when my dad purchased that business with his brothers back in the 70s is when they did still did a little bit of remodeling and reconfiguration at the store. But it's been as is since then until, you know, like I said, now we're getting ready to redevelop that.
That's amazing too, because usually the second generation is the one that screws up the business after the first generation starts. Yeah. You're taking the whole thing in
the
direction.
I think that was a compliment, right?
Yeah, it was a compliment. I understand that. I come from a family business too.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's a challenge. I mean, every day's a challenge. Nothing comes easy, but. It does help when you know that you have the support and the backing of not only the residents, but also the people that are running the city.
Yep.
That was a look at John Ono, the owner of Wild Willys and the Super Y Party Store. And John has joined us now. Welcome to the set, John.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. You've become a real active player in helping the growth trajectory of Romulus. Can you tell us a bit about your professional experience prior to owning a spot like Wet Willys?
Wild Willys. You know, I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, so it's getting into business was kind of natural for us. I think it's just into my blood.
Okay.
Learned a lot from my dad, my uncles, even my brother. We got into my dad's owned the liquor store, Super Y Market, since before I was born.
Okay.
So I've kind of really even though I'm not from Romulus, I've grown up in Romulus. Right. You know, the relationships that we built and stuff like that. And it was, you know, went to college, got out of college, had a small other business. My dad had gotten sick. He's good, but at that time he got sick. And, you know, my brother and I forced him into retirement. I sold the company, got back into the party store business. Okay. And that evolved into, you know, acquiring Wild Willie's Bar and Grill.
Okay, yeah. that's pretty cool. What made your father get into that line of business?
You know, he immigrated here in the 60s and from Iraq, and he was in the store business working for relatives, got into supermarket business. He was a butcher for quite a long time, just saved up money, and had an opportunity and got into the retail business. He was accustomed to that. My grandfather was in the business back home as well, too. So it's, you know, just I think that my community itself is just a large entrepreneurial community, the Kelly community. But yeah, it's kind of ingrained in us.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I wanted to prompt you on sense of community, because that's really what Mayor McCrate and people like Billy are trying. I sense that's the foundation that they're building off of, this sense of we have a lot of people here who want to create something special. Do you feel the same
way? Oh, absolutely. I don't think in Romulus you have to try to create a community. It's a community. It's and it's fantastic. It's the people are wonderful. I mean, I hear stories on a regular basis. People come into Wild Willie's Bar and Grill and they're like, I remember you at the store when you were yay high standing on a milk crate, you know, and doing lottery and whatnot. And you know, and everybody remembers you. You know everybody. I mean, we know every and anything there is to know about it. And again, never living in Romulus, I'm still at the weddings, the barbecues, the funerals, you know, you become part of the community, and you want to be, you know, and it's a cool thing to be a part of. You know, you don't really get that in a lot of other communities too much, where everybody knows everybody, everybody knows what's going on in other people's lives. When somebody's down, everyone's there to pick you up, and it's pretty easy to say, hey, I want to invest here.
It's almost like your profession and your career and your business, it's everything all rolled up in one. It's almost like a hobby. You know, it's life.
I mean, to touch on what the other guy said, I mean, it's fun. It doesn't feel like work.
Right.
You know, you do become friends with people. I mean, you brought up Billy. I remember when Billy was acquiring Captain Nemo's, and we sat and chatted about it, and he was like, hey, I think I'm going to do this. You know, and we sat there and talked about business for a little bit. And, you know, hey, you need any help?
Right.
We're here to help, you know.
I hear you.
And just kind of everybody just, I guess, having each other's back, really.
Now, I understand you're on the cusp of investing even more in the future of Romulus with a major upgrade to your family's party store. What's planned?
Well, we're doing a full reconstruction, tear down the current existing building, putting up another 9,800 square foot building with the C-store, a couple of rental units for food service and a fueling station.
Oh, okay.
So, and it makes it easier to invest that kind of money when you see the trajectory of Romulus. You know, under the leadership of Bob, it's really fantastic, and you really just want to be a part of it, because you just you know what's coming down the pipeline.
Is that the new thing, convenience store?
I feel it's the only thing that you know, going into these super C stores, it's really the only way that us small business owners can compete with the big guys coming in.
Gotcha.
You know, the big guys have a lot of money. They can kind of push you around a little bit with cheaper prices and whatnot.
Sure.
The way we can compete is by making these super C stores, you know, beer, wine, liquor, you know, food service, all under one roof.
Right.
And I think that's kind of what a lot of people that have been in the business have kind of gearing towards is redeveloping into those larger stores. It's just harder to compete when you're smaller. You gotta kind of have to have a all-in-one type of one-stop shop place.
As you're talking about that super C, we're talking about a huge footprint expansion, right?
Yeah, it's...
What's it going to go from what to what?
It's going from roughly 3,600 square feet to 9,800 square feet, drive-through unit, and our C-store alone will probably be anywhere between 6,000 to 7,000 square feet. We'll have a QSR, a quick-serve restaurant, inside the location, and also touching on some grocery needs for the city as well. We know that there's no grocery store in the city of Romulus. We can't do that, you know, full-scale grocery store, but we could add some fresh items and accommodate the residents in some facet. And that's what we're hoping to touch on.
Fantastic. John, let's talk about, you know, city came to you with various plans, some of which you somewhat rejected and waited for the right fit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's a building downtown that was available. It's an old fire station. That they were offered to me for like a low lease to get another business downtown and hope that, you know, we can get some traffic down there. It wasn't the right opportunity. It was just a little bit too soon. I can see the potential for a downtown, but in its current state, you can't really just thrive with not enough rooftops down there, you know, hoping that people from the hotels are going to leave the hotel and, you know, not go to the hotel bar and come to my bar and grill. We just needed more time and more time to develop it. And it was, you know, early on in Bob's tenure there, there's definitely been progress there. You know, maybe still not ready yet for it, but, you know, I can see it down the pipeline, you know, that it might be an opportunity once more things start developing in that downtown district.
Okay, excellent. Anything else that you can see in the future that you want to bring us up to?
Oh, I don't know.
Anything with Wild Willies?
Wild Willies, we actually just recently did remodel Wild Willies completely, from parking lot, roof, HVAC, interior. We redid everything. That bar has been there since the 60s. It's a staple in the community. And the one way we can give back is by reinvesting into our business and giving back to the community. You know, those regular customers that we see are there every single day, so we reinvest into our businesses and give them something nicer to come and frequent. I know Bob wants a cigar lounge pretty bad, but I'm not so sure how quickly. We need rooftops.
I hear those are coming, I think,
right? But, you know, it's just a little, like, they were touching on some of the downtown areas and stuff like that, and it's a great downtown, and it's a walkable downtown. It does just need to be developed. We need more traffic down there. We need more rooftops down there, you know, some more businesses down there. You know, and I think once that happens, I mean, yeah, we can capitalize on that, especially with the hotel district that's there. You know, there's room.
And you guys are gonna put it to good use, right?
We hope so.
John, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, we're back with Mayor McCrate. Any closing thoughts on Romulus and the job you have to do? You've given us a lot of how you're looking at it right now and how you've looked at it in the most recent past, changes that you made. Got anything that you want to share with everybody that you're going to do in the future?
We're just really focused right now on rebranding and rebuilding our downtown. You know, our downtown really became a ghost town due to construction, several different things, traffic shifts, jobs leaving the area. When Kelsey Hayes closed, when Lear Seating closed, those were 2,000 jobs alone that traveled through our downtown. And that's what we talk about, creating that opportunity for somebody to have a return on investment. They're not going to invest in our downtown. So we looked at those different things. We rebuilt our road system and new infrastructure. And we also had absentee landlords and people who weren't, they didn't share our vision and they didn't want to reinvest in their buildings in our downtown district. So in order to create that opportunity where you're going to get a toner or a Yono to come in here and say, yes, I want in on this and I'm going to invest my private dollars, which is essential, we needed to clear the slate. So we needed to push some people who didn't share the vision out of our downtown. And we even went as far as to acquire some of those properties. And we built an entrepreneur program where we can give a low-level lease to an entrepreneur with the idea or a vision to create that traffic downtown or create that environment where somebody else could see that return on investment. We even went as far as after we had these leases designed to bring in entrepreneurs, we had a business program come in that could teach you. You know, if you open up a shop and you're selling widgets that you make, that you used to make in your bed, in your basement, or candles, or whatever it is, you might not know business real well. So we brought in a support system with the Nest, and they can give you business background. And then you create that environment, and that's when you attract your, you know, your Jonathan Yonos and your Billy Toners to come in and say, wait a minute, we see the momentum here. And they're not going to invest private dollars because they're smart business owners. They're not going to invest private dollars just to invest private dollars, just to say we invested in our community. They want to see a return on investment. So we're working hard to create that environment that will give them that return on investment. And you see, we re-envisioned our parks in our downtown. We put a substantial rebuild on the Mary Ann Banks Park, which was long in the, you know, along the tooth, historic park, and also our new Eagle Alley. We had to raise a building that was substandard, and through some creative partnerships with local relationships, we built Eagle Alley, and it's another placemaking area where people will want to come out and enjoy themselves.
Now, if there are entrepreneurs out there listening, how do they get involved?
They call City Hall. They got to call Kevin Cross, our Director of Economic Development, and find out what we have for them, because we definitely have support.
Okay, fantastic. Well, that's excellent. Always great having you on. Okay. Romulus offers a blend of a small town feel and a convenient access to the larger Detroit metropolitan area. It is rapidly becoming one of Michigan's high potential communities, a place poised to grow as it evolves into a place that checks all the right opportunity boxes. Thanks to Mayor McCrate, Bill Toner of Captain Nemo's, John Yono from Wild Willie's and the Super Y Party Store. For Joe Camilleri, Kaylee Guffey, and Rich Williams behind the scenes, I'm Carl Zimak. We'll see you on the next episode of Destination Downriver.
Thank you to our team sponsor, Allegra, Marketing, Print, and Design.
With a special thanks to our production partners here at the new Taylor Media Center. Thanks for listening and watching. Please visit our website, destinationdownriver.com, or our Facebook page, and be sure to join us for next month's podcast.